Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
Would you guys grab your Bibles and go with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, as we take our time to actually look at this passage this morning, what I want to do is I want to kind of bring you into 1 John and talk to you about why John's actually just picking this up and starting to talk about prayer. John, actually, the 1 John is talking about the love of God and not conforming to the system of the world. And right before, in chapter 5 specifically, it's made what we call a confession of who Christ is. And then John just changes what he's thinking about, and he's talking about answered prayer. How does prayer actually get answered? Now, when I use that term answered prayer, please understand every prayer gets answered, doesn't it? It's either yes or no. But John is trying to work through the idea of how does, when you pray a certain way, does God, how does God respond to that? I don't know if you guys are like I am. I'm always trying to figure out, well, God has called us to walk with him. There are certain ways that his heart and his values are released, and I need to learn how to come into alignment with that. And I think that's what John is trying to address here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15. So let's read the scripture together today. It says this, "And this is the confidence that we have towards him," God obviously, "that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." Now, I want you guys to think with me about this before we start looking at the scripture. Prayer has many different ways that it's talked about in scripture. The Bible talks about the necessity of prayer, it talks about how to pray, and then it talks about the effects of prayer. But there are different ways that the idea of prayer is actually presented in Scripture. And I wrote down some of them here just so you'd think about this with me before we look at this passage. We find out that prayer is described as a conversation, that you've been called to talk with the Lord, hear from him, relate to him. So there are a lot of passages when it talks about prayer in both the Old and the New Testament. It says prayer is about you knowing God and him making himself known to you. And you talking with him about your life. And a lot of people, when they teach on prayer, that seems to be the area they go into. They say, well, you need to learn this, that God wants to relate to you. And that's true because the scripture talks about that, but that's not the only way that prayer is developed or talked about in scripture. That's one way. Another way is prayer can actually be considered going and standing before a judge. And so it actually, there are some prayers or talk or the way that the language is used, they're saying that when you stand before a God, even though he's your father and he wants to relate to you, you're also standing before the judge of the universe. And he's making decisions about the affairs of your life and the people that you live around and then the nation that you live in. And so prayer is also like standing before a judge. We also find out that prayer in Scripture is like going and seeing a counselor. So we have a lot of passages where it talks about prayer, where it says, take your burdens and cast them on the Lord and tell the Lord what you're struggling with and just allow God to be a counselor in your life. And so many scriptures, when it talks about prayer, it's saying, when you come into prayer, understand that the focus of the prayer is so that your heart will be restored. You're to come and see a counselor in prayer. Another way that prayer is described is that prayer is described as a power struggle. And so think about this. We have the idea, well, prayer is about talking to God, but the Bible also says, well, prayer also takes on this, in a sense, a military concept where there's a struggle between good and evil, and it's an expression of power, and when you and I step into prayer, we're engaging in a power struggle also. So that's another way that what we call a venue or a way that prayer is described. And then prayer is talked about as a place to remember. And so think about this. Now, there's certain types of prayers that talk to God or get counsel for God, but just to go into God's presence and remember the things that God has done in your life and relate to your history with God. This would be more on the alignment of meditation. But today, and what we're going to look at, is I actually also believe that prayer is a rhythm of relationship. It's a rhythm of relationship. We enter into all these types of prayers, but there's a rhythm to it. And so simply, prayer is, I give a request, God responds to me. And we need to understand that. Now, let's go back to the passage and let's start digging into the words that were used specifically by John. And he's trying to describe, I don't want you to pray. I want you to understand how God answers your prayers. So it says this, and this is the confidence that we have towards him. The word confidence here in this passage is really interesting. It actually means that can be translated boldness or resolve. So this is the boldness we have when we approach him, or this is the resolve we have when we come before God. And what John, 1 John is doing here as he's writing, John is writing in this, is he's saying prayer moves from just conversation, and you can tell the language as he's starting to use here is he's moving more towards what we call a courtroom conversation. You know, when lawyers go and present cases to judges, they're coming boldly and making a declaration about why this person should be innocent. And that's the word that's being used here in the original language. Here's a boldness, a resolve, a confidence that you should have when you stand before God and you talk to him. Now, think about that. That actually means that there's a transformation or a dynamic that you and I are going through as we stand before the Lord in our relationship with him. By the way, this word boldness doesn't mean I demand things of God. It's a word that's used for freedom. So you guys get it? In the scripture, boldness and freedom are connecting ideas. So the Bible says that when you pray, you should have a boldness, a resolve, or a freedom to talk with God about anything, and expect God to do everything. That's where God wants you to relate to him. Have you guys ever been, I'm not going to talk to the Lord about that because he might not answer that, or this isn't important to him. God wants to set you free from that and realize that you're engaging with a being, God himself, who is dynamic, alive, and miraculous by nature. And so he wants you to just release your prayer life and how you talk with him about expecting dynamic things happening in your world. Now, isn't it funny? I don't know if you guys ever do this. I catch myself doing this all the time. When you read the Old and New Testament, you see God being what? Miraculous in almost everything he does. And then my prayer life is, okay, God, please just help me make it through until tomorrow. Are you guys like that? It's like I never expect him to do anything except, you know, just, you know, give me peace and just keep everything going forward. And I never expect him to ever do anything miraculous, even though the whole scripture is explaining that he's miraculous. And so the Bible's trying to say, free yourself up here. Stop settling. Stop just kind of praying the same thing. Come into this thing and start expecting something to change. Let's keep moving on. So here's the confidence that we have before him, or towards him, sorry. That if we ask anything according. Now this word according is interesting in the original language. It actually means this. It's two Greek words brought together. And it means to bring something down from a higher level. So when it says, when we ask anything according to his will, it actually means it's being brought down from a higher plane into this plane that we live in. And so it's carrying the idea of what we call revelation or God speaking. So now this prayer is going from me searching the scripture and petitioning to now God telling me, here's what I want to do in a situation, and it's up here, and I want you to bring it into your existence by coming into agreement with me. Prayer is fun because it's not so much me always requesting. A lot of times I believe that as you and I mature in our prayer life, it comes into a place where you and I are seated with Christ in the heavenly realm, and we dialogue about the world we live in, and he says, hey, this would work best in this situation, so come into agreement with me on this, and then go do this thing that I want you to do. So prayer really isn't so much about, well, do this God or do that God. It's more of, what do you want to do, and how can I participate in it? Now, not everybody has the same motivation, but I am driven that the God that I read in the Old and New Testament would be just as real in my life. And because of that, I'm motivated by the fact that I've come to the conclusion that God knows 10 times better what's best for my life in every situation than I do. So a lot of my prayer life isn't really me talking anymore. It's more of me coming before the Lord and going, here's the situation, how do you want to resolve it? Here's the situation, what's the best you can do here? In fact, we're going to actually even see in the passage that when we get to this idea, God actually wants to give you his best, and that's the answer prayer you want in your life, right? So let's keep going on. So God says, if we ask anything according, God wants to take something from heaven and bring it back to us. And then it says, according to his will. Now the word will here, very interesting enough, means desire, but it also means preferred will. Now that's important that I explain that, preferred will, or what we call God's best offer to you in that situation. So if we ask anything from heaven, which is God's best situation, he hears you. Now think about that. That means that when you pray prayers that are not the best for you, God doesn't answer them. I don't know if you guys, ever tried to talk God into giving you something that you believe is the best for you? Okay, one person. Okay, so for the rest of you, think about this with me. When I pray for God to answer a prayer a certain way, I believe that's the best way for that prayer to be answered. And yet, from God's perspective, and if you've ever been a parent, you've raised children, you realize what they think is best and what you know is best are two different realities. When my kids, their request to me as they were growing up was they wanted an unlimited flow of candy coming to them all the time, whether it made them sick or not, because they believed that was the best for them. And so, obviously, we cut that flow off, and we gave them carrots and vegetables and said, well, you're just going to have to endure this. And they're like, that's not the best. Do you guys get it? From whose perspective, what's the best for you? Now, the Bible's kind enough to tell you, just from the Old and New Testament, well, what is God's intent for you? I mean, really, what's his intent for his people? Well, it says God has a plan for you. To prosper you, not harm you. To give you a hope and a future. God has a better plan. And so, I don't know about you, my goal is to discover what that is and say yes to it instead of saying, no, I don't think that's the best. You do it this way. Now, I've been here enough, and Chris did say over a decade, you guys have heard me tell you some of the silly prayers I've prayed. Like, God, my life actually will make sense if I have a red Ferrari. Or I own the island of Hawaii or something like that. And it's all about just, you know, this is what's best for me. Now, you guys realize this. If God has made you, he's formed you in your mother's womb, he knows exactly what fits in your life to not only bless you, but to grow you, challenge you, and to make you the best that you can be in your life. And so now, isn't that interesting? John has just talked about a confession of who Christ is, and then he turns right to your prayer life and says, well, if Jesus really is the Son of God, here's what should be going on in your prayer life. The best of who what Christ has done on the cross should actually be coming to you, and God wants you to understand that so you can participate in the best that he has. And please work with me on this. Sometimes when we say to people, God wants to give you the best, people start getting wrong views of that. Guys, remember the word prosperous, blessed, and favor means the best of something. And so when we sit around, well, a lot of Christians talk about God just blessing all the time. Like, I like suffering, I always say this, I like suffering just as much as every other believer does. But it is God's intention to do that. So there's no sense of resisting him in this process. He wants you blessed. He wants his best for you. That was the whole purpose of Christ dying for you. He wants his best for you. All right, let's keep moving forward. Now, let's look at the right here. It says this. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, the word hear is really interesting. And this is an important theological point. People ask this. I think it's a great question, and I'm going to try to address it. Doesn't God hear every prayer? The answer, yes, of course God. Of course he hears every conversation. Can you imagine he hears every conversation? He also knows every thought and intent of every person's heart. So this isn't who is God. That's not the question that's being asked here. God hears everything everybody says and every prayer that's prayed. But the passage is not talking about God's ability to hear. In fact, I think they should have translated it, my opinion. They should have translated it more deeply. It actually means God listens to your prayer. Now, there's a difference between hearing something and paying attention to something. And that's what's being said here. If we ask anything according to His will, He pays attention to that. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I told you that prayer sometimes is a dialogue. God just wants to hear what's going on. But God is saying, well, what is it God takes seriously when you're talking with Him about stuff? He's saying He takes seriously when you pray according to His will because it's the best He can give you. And when you pray that way, He actually pays attention to what you're saying. Now, this is important. In the Bible, when God pays attention to what you're saying, it means it moves His heart. And He responds. Okay. Now, that's interesting to me that if He hears something I'm praying, His heart begins to move in it. And there's an experience that I have when I know that God's heard my prayer. Now, when I was growing up, this language isn't used very much, and it's probably the denomination I was a part of when I first became a Christian. They used to talk about praying through things. You guys ever heard that language? We prayed through, and then God answered. You guys remember all that? If you haven't ever heard it, the idea was there became this theology around the early 1900s that until you had a sense that God actually knew that He had heard your prayer, you still felt a burden in your heart. You still felt like you hadn't gained ground. It felt like you hadn't got a decision from the Lord because when your prayer has been heard, there's an effect that happens in the soul. And so a lot of believers used to say, well, you need to pray through on that thing. And what they were trying to get at is what's being talked about here in 1 John chapter 5. When I pray and I know that God has heard me, what is the effect I experience when that happens? My heart gets touched by assurance. So a lot of times, if you guys ever had a struggle and you've just been praying and praying and praying and praying, trying to get God to move, and then it's like either you submit something or you turn it over to Him or you feel like He's heard your request and all of a sudden your heart gets filled with the peace of God. That means He's actually, in a sense, already told you, I'm now answering that because assurance has come to you. Now, I know as I walk forward in my prayer life, I'm looking for that place before God, assurance as I pray for things. He's heard me. He's listened to what I've said. He's actually, it's moved His heart, and in response to it, He's come back to me and said, not only have I heard it, I'm going to move on your behalf in that situation. Okay, Lord, let's go. All right. Says, and then let's keep moving on in the passage. It says, and if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we know. So now it's using the word know, and it's the same Greek word for these two words, know. And again, just so you guys understand, the word know here is not experiential, I know something. This actually is the word that's used in the Greek New Testament that means seeing becomes knowing. Or it's the way that the Bible uses the idea of when God makes something known to you, you perceive it. So there's a difference between knowing something in what we call a physical plane, where I read some text and I assent to it. And then Scripture, it also talks about the idea that when God wants me to know something, I perceive it as being true, or I can understand it, or I can receive it. It means I have an ability to see something. So now let's look at the passage again and see what it's saying here. It's saying, and if we know He hears us, you guys, if we perceive that He's heard us, we perceive we have what we ask for. So there's this passage is actually saying that there's a place in prayer where you can actually have not only confidence to talk with God, but an assurance that can be given to you in such a dramatic way that it causes you to actually take a stand before the Lord. And even though nothing has changed, you know something's going to change because God has assured you in your heart first. When I first came into the kingdom, a lot of people come into small groups or they hang out with their age group. For some odd reason, the Lord, in His wisdom, put me with a bunch of elderly women who did intercession all the time. And He had me watching for the first couple years, and when I watched them, their lifestyle was very confusing to me. because they have this confidence that every time they pray, they expect God to do something in a situation. I prayed, and I just spent most of my time just crying and complaining. And they're like, what do you need change in your life? I'd tell them, they'd go, okay, let me go find out what the Lord wants. And then they'd pray, and then the thing would change. And I just sit in awe of them and think, well, I guess that's just walking with the Lord for 40 years and stuff. And they started talking with me about this kind of stuff. And so that's what formed me, was this thing. As I move on in my Christian experience, I want to have this confidence before God. And I was doing some research. This will show you how weird God puts things together. I started doing a historical research on the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the United States. And when did it come to the United States? And who were the people that God used? And what was it that God said to him that influenced him to start believing in healing? Because you guys, here we still practice healing, not probably as much as I'm happy with, but at least we're doing the healing ministry now. The body of Christ in the early 1800s and even the 1700s wasn't even practicing divine healing. They didn't pray for each other. It's, you die. Hey, that's the way it is. Or you go to the doctor. I mean, that's all they had. And God was trying to restore it. Now, this is interesting. In American history, a woman named Phoebe Palmer has a profound effect of what you are experiencing right now in the arena of divine healing because of her life. Now, this is what I discovered about her. Her father was discipled by John Wesley, and then they moved to the United States. So she was born in the early 1800s. So she grew up, she became a minister. Her husband was a physician. Still didn't practice divine healing. She used to have campaigns where she did holiness camp meetings. And God brings her to 1 John 5:14. This is the passage she talked about where God convinced her about the healing ministry. So God starts introducing the idea that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he heals. And then he brings her to this passage. And he tells her this. He says, now, when you and I exchange prayer and we talk and you ask me to do something, for you to know that I am going to do it, I am going to give you peace and assurance in your heart, and you're to stick with it until that thing changes. And it was in the arena of healing. And all of a sudden, this is where, if you guys, I think in some ways we've watered it down or we've misunderstood what was being said. She actually believed that God could give such confidence that he could change the situation that he would convince you in your heart first before it ever happened in the natural realm. And that's how she started her healing ministry, and that's how people started getting healed. Once she had what she called an assurance that God was going to do it, she stuck with it. And I mean stuck with it, and people got healed of major problems in their life because she understood what was being said in 1 John 5:14 and 15. That God wants this as a lifestyle. And I hope you guys are hearing what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to get across the point that God can create such a deep sense of confidence that he has heard you, that you can actually look at your situation and see no changes, but God, in an internal way, can so connect with you that he is going to change that situation, that you can walk out assurance and boldness as a lifestyle because you know God's going to do it. Now, think about that with me for a minute. This is what God has intended for you. So we all start off in a weak, fragile place in our prayer life or anything that God has called us to, and his goal is to make us look like and respond like Jesus does by the time we're done on this planet. And when you look at Jesus's prayer life, do you see Jesus going, well, I just don't know if it's the Father's will to do this, or I'll just pray some wimpy little prayer here? I mean, when people came to Jesus, they expected something to change when he prayed for something. Well, you're on the same course that Jesus was. The same Holy Spirit that was working with the Lord Jesus Christ is working with you, and he's trying to get you to that place because there's something dynamic and something that shocks people, that makes them thirsty for the kingdom when there's a Christian that has confidence in their God. In fact, the Bible is pretty straightforward in the fact that it says people who know their God will do exploits. Now the word know here is that word. People who perceive him, have encounters with him, understand how he works, they're going to do exploits. Now, there's nothing more boring in Christianity than settling not to do exploits. Why? Because you have the power of the world pulling on you. There's something in you that wants to do exploits. You realize that? It's called adventure. There's something pulling on you. Now, God has made you to be like Him. He's about adventure. If you are not doing adventures in God, the world is going to pull on the power of the flesh for you to do adventures in the flesh. Because you're created for adventure. Now, again, I like being meek and mild, and I like getting along with everybody, but I'm telling you, I don't want the culture to form me into a person that's just silent, that never does anything for Christ. I want to be someone that actually, as I'm walking on this planet, I boldly express the love of God so it transforms people's lives. And I hope you guys are on the same journey with me as we do this. John is saying, well, how do we get there? How can God meet us and actually do this? And this is the thing he's telling us. So let's go ahead and wrap it up now. Isn't it amazing that in God's economy, there's a lot of people praying to the Lord, and he's not listening to them, but because you're in a covenant relationship. That's why I think in James is trying to tell you you're just like Elijah. And I don't know what you guys do when you hear the idea that you're just like Elijah. I always look at that passage and said, well, Elijah was weak and frail. It's trying to show you he was weak and frail, but because everybody already knows the story of Elijah. Elijah was an incredibly powerful prophet. I mean, he's the guy, can you imagine? Can you imagine the police coming to arrest Chris, and Chris goes, wait a minute, and he calls a lightning bolt down and strikes him. I mean, wouldn't that be exciting to watch that? And they're like, well, I'm not going to go arrest Chris anymore. I'm going to stay away from him. You guys realize he did that like 2 or 3 times. These guys are coming to arrest him, and he goes, well, wait a minute, and a lightning bolt comes and strikes him. He prays, and then he challenges the false religion. He says, hey, go meet me over here on this mountain. We're going to see if your God responds. We're going to see if my God responds. You guys understand, that's the person that James is using as an example. And he says, but you have to understand, he was weak and frail. So what was the key? The guy knew how to get in with the Lord and say, now you make your name wonderful in the midst of us. I think that's why Elijah's constantly brought up through the church and through the New Testament. And a lot of people talk about Elijah because I think Elijah figured out something in a very broken, weary, depressed nation of Israel at the time. That God was still miraculous, even if the nation wasn't expecting it. So what is prayer? What is answered prayer? I believe that the biggest goal of prayer is not only learning how to do it, but understanding who we're coming into contact with. God is miraculous by nature. He doesn't do miracles to prove anything. It's his nature. And so he wants you to align with that. The loving, miraculous, supernatural God who wants to change every part of you. Let's pray, please. Come, Mighty One. Bring your power. Bring your power of love right now. I ask that you'd begin a work inside of us of adventure, of exploit. Can you, by your great mercy, lift our eyes above today and give us eternity to perceive things from? I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the effect that it has. And I ask that it would go deep into our hearts and that a seed would be planted. And that you would water it, Lord, as we go forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face to you and give you rest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. You bet. So as is our joy, our privilege, we want to bless you, Brian.
And so we have a basket up here as a love offering. If you're going to write a check, you can write it to Plumline, and all of that will go to Brian and to the ministry that he is overseeing. I wanted to draw your attention just for 1 minute to this photo right here. This was taken on Wednesday. And Dana and I, we had the joy of bringing 8 students up into this basin, and from here we hiked into that valley up to the left. So we went past the mountain there in the middle, and we went up towards the mountain there on the right. Every single student, with maybe the exception of one, this was all brand new to them. And so they were standing at this trailhead looking up. Well, actually, we didn't even really see this view on Monday because it was rainy and cloudy and kind of ominous, you know, a little bit like looking at doom. And so the trust that it took for them to follow me into that space. Yeah, we don't want to take adventures in the flesh, but we can allow adventures in the natural to reflect what's really going on in the spiritual. And so if you were to ask any one of those 8 students, raise your hand if you were on that trip. Go ahead. There's several. You can see how young some of these are. I mean, we had a 10-year-old. We had an 11-year-old. If you were to ask any one of these students if they want to go backpacking again, they would absolutely, without a doubt, say yes. If you were to ask them on Monday afternoon when they were staring at doom, they would say no. I want to encourage us as a fellowship, in light of what you brought as a word of hope and prayer for hope, I think the Lord wants to actually include more of us than just those of us who feel like we're kind of hopeless. As I was sitting there, I felt like the Lord was saying, if you have settled for a C+ in your life in general, the Lord wants to bless your imagination to start thinking in terms of an A+. In your relationships, in your marriage, in your children's lives, work, everything. I think we can all kind of relate to that to a point. My hope is that as we enter into new topography with the Lord, we allow the wow factor to increase. And so I want to encourage you to just stand up and pray for all of us for that. Just like this week, Lord, all 10 of us experienced something similar, and yet it was so deeply personal that it was unique to our lives. And just like everyone here, we all experience some similarities in life, and yet you're so intricately involved in the specifics. The journey that you have for us is going to require some trust. Not just trust that we can endure. Actually, it's the opposite. It's trust that your heart for us is good. It's trusting that the promise of Jesus is that he came to give us abundant life, not just a C+ life. And so I pray that you would take any area of our life where we have settled, and would you bless our imaginations with you, our hopes, our dreams, our assurances, that you want to enhance our experience moving forward with you. And if there are some areas in our life where we look at that and it feels a little bit like doom, I pray that you would wow us as we trust you to enter into prayer, as we enter into meditation, as we enter into new hopes with you. And so I bless my friends here with that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.